Hi, this is Kate Sheehan Roach, and I am so happy to be speaking with Jane Galloway today. Jane is the author of the best-selling book, The Gateways, The Wisdom of 12-Step Spirituality, just recently out with Sacred Stories Publishing. It's just such a great honor to speak with Jane. She has a long, long list of credentials and experience with the 12 steps that you'll be able to read in her bio. It's just too long to even get into, Jane. You're just such a wonderful, wonderful teacher, and thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited about talking to you.
Great. Well, I'm excited about your book. I've read it. I keep thumbing through it and coming back because there's so much here. It's really a beautiful addition to, you know, the 12-step program, which has been going on for how many years now? And tell me a little bit about your experience with the 12 steps and how you came to write this book.
Well, I have been involved with the 12 steps as a recovery program for many years. Too many to even believe, actually, over 30 years. And so you know, leading into recovery, there's a chart that shows people kind of going down into addiction, and it's a chart that's used a lot in recovery circles, you know, counseling circles, and shows the hitting bottom situation. And, you know, a lot of focus is put on that, especially with the proliferation of so many treatment centers. Not as much focus is put on the whole developmental arc of recovery.
Right.
And that's really what I'm interested in. So I began working the 12 steps, saved my life, began a wonderful new life. I've had many, many blessings in my recovery, but I practiced the 12 steps, all 12 of them, and very rigorously. They're an amazingly freeing process for getting better from addiction. So I did that, and I did it, you know, really rigorously for, I guess, maybe 5 years was how long I was really kind of dealing with what we call in the program the wreckage of my past and getting things right. But as I continue, and even before the 5 years, though, I must say, I began looking for places where I could become tuned in to some relationship with my higher power. I went into AA as an atheist, and I had a white light experience, which I talk about in the book, which drew me into my first day of sobriety, which was the following day, and I was on a quest. I mean, really, honestly, this thing changed my life. So I
yes,
went
that is from, a riveting story. Everybody must buy the book to read that story and,
well,
and relate.
Well, it was an amazing
yes.
occurrence, and it right. totally turned me around. And so the very day after that happened, I went to my first meeting and then began looking for places and people who could tune me into what this whole recovery thing was about. So I was not a person who resisted. By the time I got there, I was sweetly reasonable. I was in a tremendous amount of emotional pain and also had, you know, physical things going on from alcoholism. But honestly, my bottom was emotional, and I think many women's bottoms are emotional.
Tell us about hitting rock bottom. Some people might not know what that means, but
I
love your take on that.
I don't really, I don't think of it as rock bottom. I think of it as a trampoline. So
right.
I mean, what happened for me was I hit this place that I had been avoiding for years, which was just this existential void, awful, horrible, lonely experience of, oh, God, I hope I never have to go there again. And from that moment, I began to spring into action. I found a meeting book I had stashed in a drawer, and I had gone to a few meetings 6 months earlier and began this process of recovery. And because I was, I don't know if this happens to everybody, but my growth was so rapid in the first 90 days and first year, I really consider the bottom as my greatest gift.
Mm-hmm.
What is said in the programs is, you know, everybody's body bottom, oh God, sorry, everybody's bottom is different. And so the phrase is very commonly used in the program, addiction is like an elevator going down. You can choose to get off at any floor. So rock bottom may be death for some people. Right. It really is an individual process. And in my case, it was an emotional place where you just know this is over. And we remember the bottom, because it's important to remember the bottom, because things get so much better so much more quickly than anyone could imagine, especially if you're working the 12 steps. You know, we are restored to sanity through working the steps. And so it's important to recognize where you come from, because there are always moments during sobriety when, you know, the big book says there will come a moment when we have absolutely no mental defense against the first drink. And that's the moment when the maintenance of our spiritual condition is critical. And so that's what I knew I needed to be about. So I began really looking into ways of understanding that part of myself, which I had pretty much shut out for a number of years. Oh, so bottom, rock bottom. I guess I'd take out the rock. What I would say is that the bottom is a fertile place. The bottom is a place where there is no more fight. Mm-hmm. The bottom is a place where the world we have been trying to construct for ourselves has not worked. The bottom is a place where physically, mentally, and spiritually we're out of good ideas. And it's a very alone place. It's a very dark place in a negative sense. Dark doesn't have to be negative. But in this case, it's dark in a negative sense, but it's also dark in a fertile sense.
Mm-hmm. So it's, well, you call it a trampoline. I love that. Talk about that.
Well, I love the fact that it just bounces you into a whole new stratosphere.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I
instead of crashing on a rock, you get there and realize it's going to send you right back up higher than you were before.
Meeting. Yeah. At my second meeting, I went into a group of people and told them about this this white light experience I had had in my room, and it was in a little basement in a New York meeting on the East Side, and I was sitting in the back of the room and listening, just eating up everything that was said at this meeting. And the gentleman leading the meeting at the end said, "Young lady, would you like to share something with us?" And as I say in the book, I mean, you can tell how out of it I was, how completely delusional I was. I thought, he probably thinks I'm doing an interview for the New York Times or something. I mean, can you imagine? But anyway, so I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll get up and say something. Ridiculous. And I got up there and looked out at this sea of faces, and I said, my name's Jane, and I'm an alcoholic. Now, in the moment I said that, and I didn't really think I was going to say that, but when in Rome, you know. Yeah. So anyway, I said that, and suddenly I had the experience you hear about at the end of life when all of your life flashes before your eyes. This actually happened to me. So this was at my second meeting. So I had a very kinesthetic early recovery. I mean, things really happened in a dramatic way. It may have taken 10 seconds. I don't know how to explain this. It's an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. My whole life flashed before my eyes in that time. And that I realized in that moment that something dramatic had changed in me. And I have often said it was so strange trying to kind of catch up to all of this, because I had the same social security number, same name, same job, same life, but I had really evolved on to another another incarnation.
Right, so, and you are among such a huge community that is, in my opinion, represents some of the spiritual outliers of our day. The 12 steps are you describe them as liberating and freeing, but you also, in your book, you talk about it being a psycho-spiritual path. We talk about the 12 steps as being a spiritual program, but, you know, most people are just interested in staying alive and staying sober, but you're telling me that there's more, that it opens up of spiritual awakening.
Well, I mean, I think a spiritual awakening is a gift, and I think the template for it is absolutely within the working of the 12 steps. And so some people have a dramatic waking up the way that I have had it or had it then. And other people do what the big book calls the educational variety, which is kind of slogging through the steps and at some point realizing, wait a minute, something dramatic is changing in me. Mm-hmm. So the psycho-spiritual part, I mean, from the beginning, as they were constructing the big book, Bill Wilson talked with Carl Jung, they talked with psychologists and physicians of the day. It's not just a spiritual book, but it really does acknowledge that it's critical to have this spiritual contact. So, the psycho-spirituality program, that's what it is. It's a miracle. What I love about it, and I guess, you know, there is some history engaged in this, reading a book called Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers really opened it up for me. This was something that was pretty much downloaded to these guys, and the way the gateways developed out of that was this. I began to recognize that they went through a process, an organic process of having to say, I'm beat, I can't do this, this surrender moment. Then they came to believe in step two, that a power greater than themselves could restore them to sanity, and then they had to do some level of surrender and make a decision. And making a decision is a big deal. And so made a decision to turn their will and their lives over to the care of God as they understood God. Okay, so that's described sometimes as a three-legged stool, and that's enough to support the beginning of sobriety, those first three steps. Well, when Bill was asked by someone who was writing actually an article about how are these people staying sober? People have not been able to stay sober for millennia, and suddenly people are staying sober. Mm-hmm. He said, well, how does it work? And kind of looked at the process of how this thing was going. So what was going on was that these guys were all, and it was all men, except for one woman at the very beginning, but they were all going through this, what was really an organic healing process. And at that point, I began drawing different developmental systems. I have the notebook I was drawing these in, and I did it for years. I drew Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the chakra system, Eric Erickson's 8 ages of man, the meridian system, the Chinese meridian system. I was studying a lot of these things too, because I realized I had a lot of healing to do, and I was really working at all of the levels I could possibly work to learn how to work with my higher self to get better spiritually and emotionally too. So it's all tied in. But I began drawing these developmental systems and realizing, wait a minute, the 12 steps are very, very much like these other wisdom systems.
Right.
So that's where the original idea for all of this idea of explaining to people that, wait a minute, folks, this is a miracle, a very practical path for recovery from addiction, initially alcoholism and then has expanded to so many other situations. But it's more than that. It's really a wisdom path. It's also a psycho-spiritual developmental path. I love developmental psychology. And, you know, you have to start someplace. And this is the thing, you can't kind of, there's a great phrase that I love in the program. It says, everybody builds castles in the air. Alcoholics move in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not developmental. That's trying to fix stuff on a superficial level or have a big spiritual experience, go off to a retreat, have a great, fabulous teacher who's teaching you stuff. And then a lot of those people end up really in trouble because they can't stop drinking. So
so
it's really a matter of doing the core work. Who am I? You know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity is pretty deep language. It's acknowledging that one was not sane.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. This is great to see how your work, your personal work, is really the foundation of this book. How you have, you know, your higher degrees in religion and in ministry, and you've served as a minister, and you've had a huge career as an actor. You've got so much going on, but what I can see here is that the work you've done and really looking closely at the steps has allowed you and has really qualified you to create what I see as ostensibly an addendum to the 12 steps, not a replacement of the 12 steps, but,
or an expansion.
Expansion.
I've often thought of it as a trap door at step 11. Step 11 is about developing a conscious contact with God as we understand God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Then in 3 seconds, the 12 steps says, having had a spiritual awakening. Well, a lot of people say, how did that happen? It presumes that it has happened, and it doesn't for everyone in an easy manner. And so really the 12 steps in my own recovery led me to, I'm a teacher, essentially, and so my interest has always been in how to convey some of these concepts to people who were struggling to learn them or who weren't struggling to learn them, who might be interested in them, because I see them as universal, amazing healing tools. So over the years, yes, I have tried to understand, while studying alcohol and drug counseling and then studying religion, I have tried to understand really the 12 steps kind of as their own theology. I'm not alone in this. Many people in the 12-step programs have attempted to write a book or put it all together somehow. But I am just someone who is extremely, first of all, I'm very practical. I want to do what works. I'm from Missouri, the Show Me State. Mm-hmm. So if you tell me something's great, I want to know, does it work? And if it doesn't work, I'm not really interested in your theory. So that's really, I've tried to explain things to people based on my own experience. I do see it as a spiritual kind of template for people practicing a long-term path.
I love the term you use, expansion, because I see the 12 steps expanding right before my very eyes, because I see spirituality moving in, and that's a vague word, but the various spiritual paths that are converging here in the 21st century, in what we're calling interspirituality, where people are sharing practices and engaging with one another on a new level. The 12 steps have been doing that all along, and this is, how many years? Is it 80 years since the
I think AA it is about 80 years. I attended the 50th anniversary at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York, so I can't remember. I don't know what.
So
it's close to that, yeah.
It's certainly time to update things a bit.
What I wanted to share about this is something, I have a deep concern, and my concern was corroborated by really seeing a recent film about the life of Bill W., who was one of the co-founders of AA. My name is Bill W., and other films that kind of talk about him as a charismatic person and kind of the story, the myth, the mythology of how the program got started. But people then talk about, he knew that emotional recovery was going to need to come next, and he talked a lot about this, et cetera, et cetera. He was a person who had a white light experience. He was, like me, a kinesthetic guy. He was somebody who has big experiences and is very emotional and really needed the contact of other people. And Dr. Bob Smith, who founded it along with him, was an introvert and really a very different kind of person than Bill. Well, Dr. Bob Smith died relatively young after they had formed this program. And the film that I saw recently brought into reality what I have been kind of studying and is mentioned around the fringes. This film was heartbreaking. It brought the last 15 years at least of Bill W.'s life into conversation, and he suffered from chronic clinical depression and was unable to shake it. He was in search of the original spiritual experience, which was really an experience. An awakening is, I think, really more what's described in step two, came to believe, and it's progressive, and it's about what the Zen cone talks about, chop wood, carry water. It's about that. And he was living this program, but was terribly depressed and was unable to find anybody who would allow him to jump down off this pedestal, this horrible pedestal of public adoration to get some help. And he sought it out in many, many ways, including before it was made illegal, he was receiving weekly LSD clinical trials with a psychiatrist to try mm-hmm. to get him to break this crippling depression. He also asked for alcohol on his deathbed, not once, not twice, but many times, and he was not terribly nice about it, apparently.
Mm,
now,
wow.
This is, you know, people need to read the whole story. And something
yeah.
that has really worried me in my years in the program, as I've watched people talk, have this spiritual high, and oh, the 12 steps are wonderful, and everybody's on this big spiritual trip, is watching people who end up kind of stalling. And there's a
right.
phrase in the program that talks about these steps are a bridge back to life. And I have said for many years that I see a lot of people bring their sleeping bag and camp out on the bridge.
Right, right.
So it
so tell us
out,
how the
go ahead.
Tell us how the gateways comes in right here, and how the gateways are an antidote.
Yeah. So this is a practical application
mm-hmm.
of a spiritual path. I was actually a minister in New York City trying to. lead an inter-spiritual congregation. I don't know if there is one someplace. I mean, I think there are people trying to
mm-hmm.
do it, but quite frankly, you know, there are a lot of places, a Christian church that's teaching about inter-spirituality, a Buddhist sangha that's maybe talking about inter-spirituality. If you're trying to be an inter-spiritual community, it's really a challenge because people want to know, okay, what are we? What are we doing at base?
Mm.
What are the teachings? Well, to say the wisdom path is also a bit ephemeral. And so honestly, I wrote the gateways as a practical how-to
mm-hmm.
for someone to follow a spiritual path, almost like an interspiritual theology, utilizing the 12 steps as a universal healing path and also spiritual path.
Beautiful. Well, you know, and I've had the same experience in my interspiritual work where it's very difficult to not just sort of become that which you're trying to move away from and try not just form another club around another set of dogma and doctrine and whatnot. But what I say when I'm in those settings, interestingly, is that we have a model of how to do this, and it's the 12 steps. This is
yeah,
one place
exactly,
where people
exactly.
from any faith or of no faith at all
right.
can come together. But there's a unifying message there, and
I totally agree. And part of what I have tried to do through, you know, this was a tricky process trying to make this both really relate to
mm-hmm.
people who are in recovery and also as a universal tool for going deeper on a spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
So the gateways are really the practicum. They're not about addiction. They're
mm-hmm.
about how do you practice this path. And in my community in New York called Sanctuary NYC, we did many wonderful rituals. One of our members actually wrote a book on rituals, and she was just fantastic and would work with us to create very meaningful interspiritual rituals, and I realized how important they were and how meaningful they were. So I talk about some of them in the book even, not the ones that we did there, but really things that relate to the developmental stages of the 12 steps. The idea of baptism, you know, removing that from theology and realizing the power of being immersed with witnesses into water with the intention of coming up brand new. That's an
right.
ancient process. It's not about Christianity. It's not about Judaism. It's not about any particular religion. It's really a human thing.
Right. It
and
transcends
so remove,
any category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so really removing those rituals from any kind of theistic context, and then seeing them in the light of a developmental opening. So, honestly, I think part of what I was trying to do as I began to write the gateways was develop a template for a community.
Mm-hmm.
Really, at base, I'm a pastor.
Well,
so
I encourage everyone to this is just scratching the surface. We could go on and really get into the details, but I think what's most important is that you've introduced this important book. It's really I think, groundbreaking in terms of bringing the 12 steps into the spiritual focus and giving people the tools they need to really go deeper in the steps. I just want to thank you, Jane, and look forward to talking with you more about this in future interviews, but this has just been a pleasure, and I'm just thrilled that our listeners get to meet you in this way, and hope they will go to Amazon or go to Sacred Stories and get a copy of The Gateways.
Thanks, Kate. I would just add to that, thank you so much.
Sure.
I've enjoyed this a great deal. I would just say play with it. I would say that to people. Play with it. Make it your own. Mix and match and see how these tools allow you to expand your spiritual life.
Absolutely. That's just such a generous gift you've given the world here, because it's really all tools that you're offering, and people need them. So thank you so much, Jane, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Great, look forward to it.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.